Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We're continuing now our summer series, Food for Thought, when some of our best known Irish names chat with us about their favourite foods, what they like to eat, what they like to cook, their childhood food memories and their favourite drinks and so on. And to talk about his love of food and music today, I'm joined by Mike Hanrahan, singer-songwriter, guitarist of Stockton's Wing, of course, and a successful cook in his own right, of course. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, Philip. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. When lockdown started, what was it that inspired you to go online with your cooking?
Well, I guess it was like a survival mechanism for me. I've learned that it could be very dangerous in those situations. Even though work every day, we were getting emails and gigs were cancelled. So you're kind of feeling a bit low, and I thought, okay, there are more people like me. If I started teaching people how to do a little bit of cooking, I'd be keeping myself occupied. And I did that, and I started creating recipes every day, researching old songs, and I'd sing songs in the middle of it. And but it was great, because then we built up a rapport. People from all over the world were tuning in at 7 minutes past one every day, and it was such a wonderful experience.
Had you a different recipe every single day?
Every day. Sometimes,
that's a lot of work.
Sometimes three or four. Well, I had a lot of time. Like, I get up in the morning, it really gave me a purpose to my day, and it also kept me tuned in. And sometimes I'd put up a silly video where I remember one I was doing chicken in a bag, and I had no chicken, so I put a parsnip in there, and you have a bit of fun at that. And I brought some accoutrements out to show people how to work their stuff, and it just took a life on a life of its own, and the audience were tuning in constantly every day. I
mean, and another string to your bow as well, because it must be nice for somebody who's pigeonholed throughout their life as a musician to be able to say, well, no, look, I'm actually properly trained to do this as well. Or did people ever say, get back in your lane there, will you?
Well, no, not too many people say that. I mean, maybe people in the cooking world Well, I don't have the hat, and I've never claimed myself to be a chef. I always use the term professional cook, and because that's what I was, and I was trained. I was highly trained by the teachers and the people who run Ballymaloe Cookery School, and I ended up teaching in the school. So my skills are of a fair. High, but I'm a cook. I'm not a chef. And I think that's, in a way, in deference to those chefs who spent all those years studying as well. But
was it the experience of trying to be a vegetarian in Ireland in the 70s and 80s that drove you to learn how to cook properly?
Absolutely. The trauma of it. I mean, you couldn't get a pepper in Ennis, you know. I mean,
you couldn't get a pepper in Ennis.
You might have to get the bus up to Ennis Diamond, where all the hippies were, and rummage through and get a pepper off them. But it was difficult. It was difficult to live as a vegetarian that time. But it forced me to learn how to cook. And I've got this book from a friend of mine.
Hang on a second. Particularly when you're on the road and you were only able to eat late at night. I mean, what were you doing?
You know, vegetarians were really poorly treated and served. Normally, the vegetarian meal was always the same. It was probably around maybe ghost cheese, but it was sitting on top of a platter of, kind of, as I used to call it, the home for the bewildered leaves and salad settings. That the chef, I could always imagine the chef inside in the kitchen, oh, there's another vegetarian. So they run around and gather things. And as I said to some people, it could be those little cucumber pieces that would adorn a salmon. They might wash them off and throw them on, because the plate wasn't very pretty. So you had to eat at home. And then I'd cook stuff at home and bring it on the road with me. Uh-huh. And like things like roast loaves, and they're all easy to cook at home. But I became decent enough at the vegetarian food.
But ultimately you had to give it up.
I had to. I was really tired of getting horrible food. And you were always last to be served, because you'd shock the kitchen, oh, there's a vegetarian. They'd only have their recipes ready. And so you'd be last to be served, even though it was the easiest thing to put together. And eventually I just gave in, and I took ages to get a dinner one time. And the lads were finished laughing at me with their steaks. And I said, okay, white flag. But I still cook. I love to cook vegetarian food.
Was it easy on your stomach going back to eating meat?
It was much easier on my health and my hangriness.
When did you go to Ballymaloe? I mean, what point in your career did that happen?
About 2006. I'd been chairman of IMRO for 6 years, and it was really, it was high-powered business. And I was running the business for Ronnie Drew. We were touring together. So life was just on a fast lane. And then Ronnie was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and my term at IMRO had come to a close. So I figured it was a good time to get off the bus and see. And I'd been doing a gig in Ballymaloe with Eleanor Shanley, and Rory, who owns Ballymaloe House, runs the hotel down there. He just said to me...
Rory O'Connell.
Yeah. No, Rory Allen. Oh,
sorry.
Himself and Hazel run the house. And Rory said to me, Rory's a musician as well, a really good friend. And he said, why not come down and try it? So I thought, yeah. And you know what? Bertie Ahern that time had given us that savings, the crazy savings. We all saved money for a number of 5 years, and it matured. So everybody was buying holidays and cars. So I bought a course in Ballymaloe.
What's your favourite meal?
I like Italian food, but I also love Middle Eastern food. And I love mixing Middle Eastern food with Irish food. I'm a fanatic on Otto Lengi. And I got to work with him over the years, and I like what he does with the food. So I don't have a favourite dish. I really do like a spiced lamb, a slow-cooked spiced leg of lamb. I adore that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have a favourite. I like good food, good provenance, good product. Very important.
And how important is it to you that you do that with Irish ingredients, or are you casting your net much wider than that?
I use a lot of spices and... flavorings from abroad, but I use Irish food. I'm a real stickler for it. I like to go and search and find Irish food, and you can find it anywhere now in Dublin or around the country, whether it's markets or in supermarkets. There's an array of Irish food available, and our producers need to be supported.
I was just going to say, no longer any need to go to Ennis Diamond for the peppers. Is that half of the fun for you, actually going and sourcing the stuff?
Yes, I do all the shopping at home, and I really enjoy that. Because it's part of the ritual. I love the kitchen. I love cooking. So getting the right ingredients is really important for me. Like, I don't understand this concept of people getting their food delivered in a van, young people. And I see people around me getting the food, and I'm thinking, just, I'd have to see what I'm getting, you know.
Hang on a second though, Mike. I mean, for me, to be perfectly honest, any meal that somebody else cooks for me is a great meal. Do you do all of the cooking all of the time?
Pretty much. Donna will cook, my wife will cook the odd time, and that's a real special treat, and it's lovely, and she likes the odd time to cook. But she said, why would she bother cooking? You know, she's got to cook in the house. So, and I love it. It's part of my daily ritual.
And take me through that ritual. I mean, how many hours of the day are actually spent in the kitchen?
A good few hours, I'd say. Yeah, I would be planning during the day because I work from home, my office is at home, and I write a lot at home. So I'd be planning, and then I'd cook. It could be a fast meal, it could be a slow meal. It depends what I want to cook. I'll do some fish this evening now, so I'll go on and source some nice fish.
And is every meal always freshly prepared, or does anything ever come out of the chest freezer? No,
nothing. No, I don't use a freezer for anything except ice cream and ice, and then I don't have a microwave. So,
really?
No, I actually don't have a microwave.
Why not?
I don't need it. I don't believe I need it. I can I can cook everything as fast in a pot as you would in a microwave.
How intrinsic a part of music is cooking for you then? Because, I mean, we saw in the videos how you were sort of doing the two and jumping between them equally happily. What is your cooking method when you're at home? Are you listening or are you singing?
No, I don't listen to any music when I cook. When I ran kitchens, I used to drive my young chefs crazy because I wouldn't have any radio, because I figured you have to be in touch with the food. And I'm not being airy-fairy, but I like just to concentrate on the food. And I think if the radio's in the background, it kind of just bothers me a small bit. So I cook in silence.
Really? You don't even sing a little song to yourself?
No, but at some parties I'm always always sing at the end of a party, right? I got caught a few times.
So the fish that's on the menu this evening, what are you going to do?
I'm going to do some tuna, I think. And then I've been working on the scallops dish that I want to try and work with grapes. And I'm going to do another version of that and see until I get it right.
So cookbooks don't play a major part in your life?
I've a million cookbooks, and I love them, and I like, and I would always say to people, if you're going to cook, do the best to follow your recipe. But sometimes I like to create my own. But if I'm cooking, I would most times follow a recipe in a book. It's the best way to do it.
Mike Hanrahan, lovely to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much for coming in, sharing those memories with us.